I wanted to continue on from where I was last week. And last week I entitled our message, God's To-Do List. And just a little recap again, that being the beginning of the year, we always have a tendency to set some resolutions and some ideas and some promises to ourselves of what we're going to do and how we're going to change. And we usually, I'm not sure about many of you, but a lot of times those get faded out as the days go on, as the weeks go on. Maybe some can last a month. Maybe some last a quarter. I don't know. But nonetheless, a lot of times those promises to ourselves of, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to change this time, it has a tendency to fade away. But one of the things that, as I was sharing last week, was that God also has lists. You see, the Bible says that we're created in the image of God. Because we're created in His image, and you think about the concept of lists. You have lists that your boss will give you. Most important, you have lists that your spouse will give you, that honey-do list, if you have that. But there are things in your mind, and I asked even last week, how many of you here are more like concrete, sequential people, where you have that checklist, and you like to check things off at the end of the day, and you feel really good when you know, like, oh, I got this done. And there's others that I mentioned, like me, that are more abstract, random, you know, where there's a list, but it's all scattered all over, you know. But we'll get some things done as we get things done. I could see the big picture, but I kind of go in my own pace and my own flow. It's not sequential, but it is something that I work with. And there are people like me, as weird as that is, and there are people that are concrete, sequential. The beauty is that we got to work together. What do we have to work together for? For the list. It's always about that list. The end of the message yesterday, or last week, was really primarily focusing on, but there is one main list that the Lord Himself cares about more than anything else. And that's the list that your name is written in the book of life. That's what matters most. What is God's will? That none would perish. That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. For what reason? For that list, that you and I could be called. And our name will be written in glory. Our name will be written in the book. Our name will be found when they call it. That is the most important thing. Reflecting last week again, I mentioned the story of how the disciples came back rejoicing and how everyone was listening to their words and all the miracle signs and wonders took place. And Jesus said, the most important thing, don't glory that the demons even tremble or that they responded to you. Or the demons feared you, but rejoice that again that your name is written in the book. This is huge. Philippians 4, chapter 4, we talked about how Paul even addressed it. One of his last letters, he addresses it and he says, look, whatever you do, try to stop from fighting and stop these two ladies. He mentions the ladies' names. Stop them from fighting because their names are written in the book. Again, just emphasizing that book. So our most important list is, yes, between us and God is that book of life, that our names are there. But what are the other lists for? The other lists are for us to get along with each other, to get along with society, to get along as a community, to get along as a government, to get along in every aspect. But there is another list that He gives us that is not meant for us to get along in reference to people, but it's actually to come against. And that's what we're going to read today, and we're going to just focus on. Let me pray again. Lord, I just pray that You just help me, Lord, as I just share Your word. God, there's no doubt that a lot of us are going through so many different things. Our country is going through a lot of different things. And here this week is a big, big point that's kind of a buildup. And there's so many people that are looking to see what's going to happen. And we pray, God, that You would just have Your peace fall over everyone. Help us, God, to understand Your words. In Jesus' name, amen. The armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Many of us have taught this portion of Scripture as far as like in Sunday school or maybe to kids. And we've actually, if you've ever seen the armor of God, like at the Christian bookstore, the little kid could put on a little helmet and have a sword. And they look like a little gladiator and all that. And it looks cute, right? And it looks cute, and you think about it all, you know, look at our little soldier and so on. But when you really start to think about what it is that you're putting on, the idea that you're putting on an armor, for what reason? For battle. You're putting on this armor for battle. In battle, it's not pretty. As a matter of fact, there are so there every movie ever about a battle or war should be rated R clearly. But what have they done? They've softened it up. I guess we used that word earlier here, you know, kind of sugarcoat, or they make it softer. And most of the Bible, it's a lot of battles going on. If you really get down into the details of what happened here, really, it's like, okay, this is not made for children to see. It's probably not even made for teenagers to see. Man, it's not even made for adults to see what's going on, some of this stuff that happened in the Word of God. But this is reality. And the reality here, Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, and this is what he ends his last, there's only six chapters in Ephesians, and he's coming to a close, and he says, finally, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. A couple points that I want to get out of this with the short time that we have. It says here clearly that our battle is not against individuals, against flesh and blood, that our battle clearly is against spiritual forces. My mom said to me concerning my sister Desiree, as far as asking for a prayer for her, that I believe she's going through a spiritual struggle. She's going through a tough time right now. There's been some things in some relationships that she's dealt with, and there's also some, she just a month and a half ago found out that identity fraud, and $1,300 was taken out of her account. And the bank was the one that alerted her, and she's now in the process of trying to get that money back. And the bank says, okay, no problem, we found out what's going on, and had nothing to do with my sister or any negligence on her part. It had to do with the bank and somehow people getting her identity through them. They said, you know, this is something we'll get and get you back your money. To this point, she still hasn't received her money. So when you add the pressures of life and then you add this added in scenario, and then all of a sudden now this health thing just comes on her, you know, my mom clearly like, okay, this is attack of the enemy. We need to pray. And so we have been praying, and I just shared with, you know, some that my mom and my brother Johnny, who spoke here sometime, my brother John, who lives in L.A., and my mom, who was visiting an aunt in San Diego area, my mom picks up Johnny. They drive. My mom left about 3 in the afternoon, got to the L.A. area because of the traffic. They left about 5 or 6 and then got to Manteca, which is south of Sacramento, Stockton area, around midnight. Prayed with my sister, loved on her for a moment, and then left back, and I called my brother this morning at 6:30, and he was just driving back into L.A. And you might say, why? Okay, it's my sister. You might say, okay, that makes sense. But to just go, and the power of a hug, or the power of just loving on someone, and the power of just letting somebody know physically that it's going to be okay, that's very strong. Especially in the area when it comes to the fact that, hey, we're dealing with some spiritual battle here. Every time there's a spiritual battle in your life, you got to be prepared to know there's a huge victory coming your way. And the enemy sees that there's something going on, but doesn't know what. And it's going to do whatever possible that we allow ourselves to. Maybe we neglect something, or we forgot something, or we weren't stern enough, or we weren't strong enough. The enemy will find whatever way possible to get right in there. The part that I want to focus in on here is that not only are we doing that, but it says here, therefore put on the full armor. I went through the list of what is the armor, and we'll read it again here. But here it says, in order to fight this battle, you can't just put on a piece of the armor. It's like, you know, that breastplate is too heavy. I'm just going to carry the sword. I don't need the helmet. You know, it's like many of those that ride bikes. Like, I don't need the helmet. It's not cool looking or whatever. You know, whatever reason. And if you guys don't wear a helmet, don't throw rocks at me or nothing, okay? I mean, we share something in reference to your saying about being over there Tuesday, right? Tuesday, Friday, as you're going. But I just found out that it was on Fox News that there's going to be over 10,000 bikers for Trump, they're calling it, and over 10,000 bikers that look as honoring and as tough as anybody can be. And Trump welcomed them to be a part of this parade and everything. So now there's going to be over, and they said their job mainly is to, they said they're going to lock arm in arm, and they're going to be there for the reason, like if anyone wants to cause chaos, their job is to said be there, and one guy even said, and to pray. And I was like, whoa. Yeah. All right. Just jump on one of on the back of the bike. You know, just hold on. Don't forget your leather jacket. And your helmet. Don't put your helmet on. And here's the thing here. But it says to put on the full armor. It says to put on the full armor. And see, this is something where when I said that the enemy is looking for any reason at all that how he can try to get at us is that we missed part of the list. Well, what did you do today? Well, you know, did you do this, this, and this? No, I skipped that one. You see, I'm preaching to me. I'm the random guy. What did I just say earlier? Well, I don't need the list. I'll just, you know, I'll just skip here. I'll do this or do this. And I can't. I can't. If I'm not personally one that is a sequential person, I need sequential people around me. I do. To keep me functional, to keep me going on the right track. Because it's not meant for me to do this all by myself. I need people around me. You need people around you to help you arm in arm, link arm in arm against the ways of the enemy. Because sometimes there's things I'm going to miss. There's always going to be things I'm going to miss. But here it says, this battle that we're dealing with, we got to put every piece on. But if you miss a piece of the list, what is the list again? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. It's not saying if the day of evil comes. It says when the day of evil comes. And my day may be different from your day. Think about that. So when we pray for each other in here, that's what I told Ken. I said, I thank God for this church. And I said it last week in here. I thank God that we take the moment to pray. This is huge, you guys, because that is locking arms and praying for each other. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Well, that's something. Okay, after you have done everything to stand, because the enemy is talking about, the pressure is going to be so strong on you that it's going to knock you down if you're not prepared. If you're not in the position that you know that you need to be. Is anybody taking martial arts here? Oh, pizza? All white belts like me? Okay. And so, you martial arts, my uncle, when he was trying to teach us that one time, and he, you know, in the fighting position, or you're in this position here, he told me, he goes, don't be where both your feet are open like this. He said, put one foot forward and the other one more going this direction. So that if you get pushed back, you got the ability to control yourself. If you get pushed this way or this way, you have both abilities to control yourself. He goes, you got to think of every angle and every position, how someone is going to come against you, and you have to prepare yourself to be ready for that. And here it says, when everything that comes against you, you do everything you have to do to stand. And once you're standing, and then it says here, then stand firm. That's pretty powerful. Because it isn't just the idea of standing like, you know, all right, you're just standing. No, if you're going to stand firm, it's like being in military, which we teased last week. I'll get it. I'll tell you another reason another time. When you're in military, do you allow your soldiers just to stand however they want to? Absolutely not. They have to stand in a firm position, right? Yeah. A position of attention, which is a firm, still, ready position. Attention and ready to go. This is what he's talking about. He goes, when you're standing, don't just stand there, you know, looking however. No, if you're going to stand, then you do everything you can to stand properly. If you're going to stand for the things of God, just don't do it, you know, like, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm a Christian, whatever. You know, just like nonchalant or it doesn't mean anything. Or my walk with God is just kind of, you know, so I only go when I want to go. Or I only do this. Or I only read when I want to read. And he goes, if you're going to do this thing, go all the way. And if you're going to do it all the way, do it with everything you got. And if you're going to do it and stand firm. Why? Because your enemy is going to wipe you out. Your enemy is going to sneak up. He's going to do something. You got to be aware of what's going on. We'll read through the list. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I'm going to go back to this one here. I don't know if you knew this or not. With the truth buckled around your waist. In the times of the Middle East, in that period, if you always see pictures, you'll notice that most of the men, they wore robes that were open and just flowing down, an open robe. Jesus had, the, you know, we saw him in the blue or something, and it was open. It came to a time when one would put a belt on. That belt was more like a rope, and it was a symbol of slavery, that you belonged to somebody. You weren't free. You weren't free to walk around. You were bound. It was symbolic. And many times, Paul, as you read his writings in the very beginning, he'll say, I, Paul, a bondservant. I, Paul, a slave to God. A bondservant means that I purposely dedicate myself to be a slave. And he says here, I purposely give myself for this cause. And when here he's talking about, you put on truth. If you're going to do this for God, and you're saying that I'm God, I'm yours, you're God, I'm not, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to go all the way with you. Well, if you're going to put truth on, you're putting truth on to the point of saying, you're my master, I'm your slave. Why couldn't it say, put truth in some other fashion, put truth on in the other way? No, what it's saying here, and the most important about, if you're going to put truth on you, you're going to be dedicated to this. You see, a slave, and you're bound to that person. You're bound to the truth. I'm bound to it. It's not like, I'll only tell the truth when you want to hear the truth. Or I'll tell you what you want to hear to you that's truth. There's so many ways in cultures around the world that, you know, the idea of a white lie, it doesn't mean anything. A little fib, it doesn't mean anything. None of this means, no, but if you're going to be bound to the truth, I'm bound. I put this rope around me of truth, saying from this point on, I don't know if you understood this or not, but if you ever know the story of Wonder Woman, no Wonder Woman people here? She has a lasso, and if she puts that on you, what happens? You got to tell the truth. I know you're going to walk out there, whoa, you know. Gonna go watch Wonder Woman. The truth. There's so much more we can go into this here. Stand ground, and after you have done everything to stand ground, stand firm then, and the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish with the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Last week I said this, that it says take on the helmet of salvation. It doesn't say take on the helmet of denomination. It doesn't say take on the helmet of organization. It doesn't say take on the helmet of anything else. I've even used the term of starvation. The reason I say that, there's a lot of people that think the more you punish yourself, the closer you get to God. I don't know if this is more of a Catholicism concept, that people that beat themselves in religions around the world, that they hurt themselves, they do whatever, they think that how they deprave themselves from things, that's going to get you closer to God. I can tell you straight out what's going to get you closer to God. Get your name on the book. Get your name on that list. That is what's going to matter. Here, this message today is about how do I come against the enemy? What list of it? What things has God prepared me for so that when the enemy comes my way, not if he comes my way, when he comes my way, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But here's this last part, and we'll close with this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always. Let me stop right there. Be alert always. Going back to the story of Gideon, when there was so many Gideons ready to battle, and Gideon had a bunch of people, and God said to him, you have too many soldiers. Send some home. And they who wants to go? They did. And they're like, their heart wasn't into it whatsoever. They weren't standing. If they were, they were the guys that were standing like this. Nah, you go home. And then he says, another test to narrow it down. He goes, I can tell you who's going to be ready or not. And these soldiers all came, and they were thirsty. It was hot in the day, and they came over, and they saw water. And as they came to the water, the Lord told Gideon, look, the ones that go and put their face into the water to drink, and they deserve to drink, they're thirsty, they're soldiers, they've been out there. If they put their face into the water, everyone who laps like a dog, have them go home. But the others that have gone and put one knee down, and they literally are looking to the hills, and they bring the water up to them, those are the ones. And it came down to just 300 out of thousands. 300, Gideon's 300. 300 men out of thousands put their hand here. Why? Because they were alert. They wanted to make sure that the enemy wasn't, when they put their head down, that they were going to do that. I saw something yesterday in the football games, the playoffs here. One guy got penalized for the center when there's a long snap when the quarterback's on at a distance, and that long snap, center has to not only do, he can't do this thing when he's going long snap, literally has to go all the way down, and because he has to see farther away. Well, it's illegal for anybody to be right over the center when they're doing a long snap, because it literally could destroy that person. It could break their back or their neck, that 300-pound guy just landing on them. So when it's a long snap, the person has to be away. Give that guy a chance. The enemy doesn't care. As soon as he sees you, drop your head. Man, that's a message in itself. As soon as the enemy sees you, drop your head. Get distracted. Put focus on something else. That's why it says, be ready, stand firm, and be alert. Alert, not paranoid. A lot of people think, oh man, he's just paranoid. He's always thinking. He's always thinking something's going to happen. Always thinking, no. I'm being cautious. I'm being alert. I'm being aware. I know that the enemy's there. My mom's just declaring it straight out. This is attack from the end. You ever met my mom? I don't know if I've ever had a chance to bring my mom. You know, my mom's just a little lady, man. But she was a bus driver for 21 years in the neighborhood. It was tough. All my guys in the neighborhood when we were growing up, man, your mom's mean. I said, yeah, live with her. You know, remember, we're going to edit this video. This the audio, okay? Yeah, and so... And so with that, I just want you to see what it says here. Very important. A lot of people think, well, I got my armor. Okay, I put my helmet. You know, some people even got to the place where they get up every morning and they do this motion. They put their feet in like this, and they put the plate on, and they put their helmet on, and they put their belt on. You know, they're doing this motion as though they're going to literally do it. That's cool if you want to do that. But this is one part. All that armor, all that motion means absolutely nothing if you don't do the last part. Last part again, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Always pray. It's not just about putting on this armor. It's not just about knowing the Word of God. A lot of people are like, I know the Word of God. It's not about just knowing it. It's not about just the ability to say, well, this is what I do, and this is what I've done, and this is where I'm going, and I'm doing this for Jesus. And some of us are so guilty of clearly doing so much for God that we don't spend time with God. And I don't want to be that person that said, God, I did this and this and this for you. And the Lord says, I don't even know who you are because you never spent time with me. This list we talked about here, this armor of God, it's not for you. It's not for you to collect and have a collection and add it to your books and your Christianese things. I got the armor of God here. It's not meant for that. It's meant for one purpose only, and that's to defeat the enemy who is going to come against you. Not maybe will come against you. Is. As a child of God, the enemy will. Do we freak out? Do we get paranoid? No, we don't. We stand firm. We know and we believe. I love it, those soldiers that are, they always do this in England, the soldiers, the British soldiers, the royalty soldiers. I don't know if they're a different soldier from the actual armed forces there, but they literally stand at the gate. And have you ever seen pictures of people try? You know, everyone plays the devil at that point, right? They're like, you know, they're trying to distract, and that guy just has to be completely still. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if they were to respond to the enemy, they're, I don't think they kill them yet, or I mean, you know, but they're not going to be there anymore. They lose their right, they lose their position. That's what the enemy wants to do. If the enemy can distract, move your side, turn you away for a moment, think of yourself only lapping in the water. It's like, oh, I got you. The crazy thing. It's not for us to live defensively, but to live offensively. Be proactive in your walk with God. Today I get up and I say, thank you, Lord. Today I get up. I don't know, Lord, what's in store. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is not promised to me. But today's a day of salvation. Today, God, I just dedicate myself to you and I look to whatever you have. Whatever comes my way, Lord, we could take care of this. It's like, you got this. This is yours. Health reasons, financial situations, relationship scenarios, circumstances of any kind that just blow up in your face. Lord, you said you'll never give me anything I can't handle. So therefore, I keep walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Key word, walk. I got to keep going. I got to be. Notice there was that, and you probably have all heard this many times, there was no armor for your back. God never meant for you to ever turn your back on what's in front of you. Never. To ever run. To ever run away. The devil's after me. The devil could never be after you if you've never opened the door for him to put his foot in. Do we live perfect lives? Absolutely not. Nope, we don't. We're striving for perfection, the Word of God says. We strive. We strive to have that life that God would be glad to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Until we get to heaven, until our name's called on that list, we push forward to do what we can. Next week, we'll talk about the list of how do we all make it work for each other. So there's a list. Last week, we talked about, what is it? God's list? Get on the book of life. What is the enemy's list? The armor of God. Next week, we'll talk about what can I do to be a part of that list about reaching those around me. Amen? Amen. Can we? Let's stand. We're going to worship one more song, and we're just going to dedicate this week to the Lord. We're going to say, God, thank you so much